We once again bless all of you to have a blessed Chinese New Year. And today we'll be back to the book of John. And so we stopped at the book of John in last December. Do you still remember where we stopped at? We talked about the book of John, chapter 14 to 17, what Jesus said during his Last Supper, his and the last message on chapter 14 talk about God, Jesus will give us the Holy Spirit to teach us in all things. And now we will move on to John chapter 15. And so this chapter better explain how the Holy Spirit work in us to make us connect with Jesus. And so Jesus said that, I am the true vine and you are the branch. And so our Lord Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain in you. And this verse kept repeating in chapter 15. So this is the big idea in chapter 15. You remain in me, you remain in my love, and you will bear much fruit. And your fruit will last. And people will know that you are my disciples. So let us ponder simply on the true essence and meaning of this verse. And then we shall confirm the essence of this verse. We cannot start from experience, because everyone have different experiences. So if we start from experience, we will go the wrong direction. So what is the true meaning? The Lord said, remain in me and I will remain in you. And this verse sounds as if you must come and be with me, remain in me. You must come to remain in me. It sounds like it's the human initiative, but actually it is the reverse. For us to remain in the Lord, that is because the life of the Lord is in us. So the Lord is the source of our life. If the branches do not have the life of the vine, how can it grow and bear fruit? So in the same way, when you read this verse, the overall meaning, first and foremost, is today you can believe, today you can love the Lord, you can follow the Lord. It is not because you can, but because the Lord has created an effect in your life. And so no one can be proud today that I can believe in the Lord, I can serve the Lord. No one. It's all true. The life given to you by the vine. And then you can do all these things. So a branch which is truly connected with the vine, a believer who is always in the Lord, he is always bringing a humble heart, a grateful heart, and a heart that praises God. So first, it comes from the Lord. And so we say, God, we love you because everything comes from you. It's all your grace and your life. But when this life and grace comes upon us, it's not just merely a concept. There is surely certain evidence. And so it will bring about a response within us. So this verse then came about, remain in me. Why did the Lord first say this? You must first understand that all life, the source of life, comes from the Lord. But when He comes upon us, your heart will not be unmoved. You will surely get up and also love the Lord, follow the Lord, and proclaim the Lord. So there will be this response of remaining in the Lord, of wanting to run toward the Lord, to follow Him. So there is no contradiction here. Some people in their concept is God's grace, God's grace. but they didn't see that they need to have practical evidences of loving God and following the Lord, that the evidence in his heart and life is absent. And then that kind of faith is fake. It's just outward appearance, and very soon this branch will be cut off. So remain in me. And the Bible said, you come near to the Lord, and the Lord will come near to you. So if we look at this verse on the overall, remain in me and I will remain in you. You come near to me and I will also come near to you. And so the conclusion of this verse is, we have a mutual relationship between us and the Lord. So let me ask you, you love the Lord? Is it because you love the Lord then He loves you? Now, many people ask this question. Does the Lord love you only because you love Him? Is the Lord with you only because you draw near to Him? Certainly not. Sometimes when we forget God, God also protects us. Sometimes when we are slightly weak and love the world, God doesn't give up on us and He still loves us. But you have to still understand a deeper faith experience, which is, although the Lord's reaction to you is not in accordance with your reaction, but when you love the Lord, you will all the more be able to see how the Lord is loving you. The more you rely on the Lord, the more you can see how the Lord is revealing to you. And so this verse tells us that when we come near to God, God will come near to us. The more we love the Lord, the more we can see how He's loving us. So faith is a mutual relationship. So God is leading you. He has never departed from you. But if you don't move, you don't rely on Him, then He will stop waiting for you. So your entire living, your entire faith living is a failure because you're not following the Lord. But if you respond to Him and you ask God, God, how? Then He will reveal His voice to you. He takes a step and He follows Him and He will take the next step. But if He takes one step, you didn't follow Him and you stop there, and Holy Spirit will also stop there. So our faith must not get into extremes. One extreme is, it's all God's doing, and then we do nothing, and then we become lazy. That is laziness, a lazy faith. The other extreme is, we do not rely on the Holy Spirit, but we want to do it on our own. So you push people to do, but it's all human-driven and human will. And so in your life, you will surely lack the joy of the Holy Spirit. But you didn't realize that everything comes from the Lord. The Lord gives you the conviction. The Lord compels you. And then you quickly run to follow Him. And the more you love Him, the more you follow Him, the more you will see His guidance and His love revealing to you. So this is our mutual relationship with the unseen God. And so when we do this, as we follow God in this way and communicate with God, the result of this is, we will be more and more like the Lord. When a branch is always connected to the vine, and this branch receives all nutrients from the source of life. So this is a relationship of unity. Husband and wife, when they got married, they don't get married in one day and then they form the relationship. From that day on, your relationship becomes what? Your relationships continues to know each other, to draw near to each other. So you know each other yesterday, today you still know a step further. Yesterday you are in love, today you are even more in love. Even you love each other even more selflessly. So that's how our relationship with God is like. The day you are born again is not finished. It's not just like that. if that's the case, then your life hasn't even started. But you are truly united with the Lord, then what kind of life is that? You will not stop there. You will have grace upon grace, strength upon strength, love upon love. And we will always remain in the Lord and He will remain in us. That kind of relationship. So those of us who don't like to pray in our faith living, or who don't like to hear the voice of the Lord, that signifies that we are a bit handicapped in our faith. So when the church has certain problems, some people in their faith, they come to a point where they don't have any more feeling toward the Lord and they feel very dry. And in those moments, you have to ask, how can we always remain in the Lord and the Lord remain in us? You must go back to what? You must go back to the Word of God. And from the Word of God, once again, you know the heart of this God, you know the attributes of this God, and naturally, your heart will incline toward this God, and so the dryness of your spirit will be gone, and you will once again produce the love for God. But many believers, I realize, the moment their relationship with God starts to get dry, they didn't go back to the Word which reveals to them. But they pursue some dreams, visions. They pursue certain special experiences and feelings and visionary dreams. And so strangely, they keep asking from God for some success, you know, in their career and whatever. And they ask for all these things. And they want to be stirred by all these things. We thought that if we receive certain things that we wanted from God, then our heart will be moved. And then when we are moved, the love for God will come back again. And we will realize that God truly loves us. So that's how the common people think regarding relationships. But today, I tell you, it's definitely not the case. If we think through carefully, our relationship with humans is not like that. Some husband and wives, their relationship has already gone cold. Actually, when husband and wife, their relationship grows cold, what must you do? What you really need to do is to communicate with one another, to understand each other's feelings, to carry the burdens of each other. And in the course of doing this, the love will come back again. But many couples, now that their relationship is not good, so the husband will buy diamond ring and bags to the wife. So they spend a lot of money to bring the spouse to Europe for travel. But how long can this last? Even human relationships cannot be purchased in this way. How about our relationship between us and God? How can we just ask for certain things that stir us or provoke us? When your relationship with God has grown cold, that's because you have forgotten His promises. You rarely see the God who is loving you and guiding you in your spirit and in your life. So we need to go back to His Word. And the Lord says, if you remain in me and my word remain in you, whatever you ask for, you'll be given you. Amen. And by that time, you will wish for what the Lord wishes. You will love what the Lord loves. And amazingly, this is the relationship that will naturally be in love. But without this, without remaining in Him, and be united with Him, between husband and wife, if your life is well in all aspects, especially material aspect, but you have different dreams and different wants, then how can you be in love? So now chapter 15 talks about a very beautiful thing, the union with the Lord. Now, a great danger of the modern church is what? There's a lot of chaotic images and illusions. We live in the internet age and a very materially abundant society. So our relationship with God turned very outward. We want to use our naked eyes to see certain things and be provoked in our faith. But it's getting rarer and rarer, you know, when people build up their lives being rooted in the Word of God and build the relationship upon the Word of God. Now, a lot of Christians sometimes also like to know from fortune tellers to tell them certain dreams and vision. You know, sister, recently your body, your health is not well. Your business is also not doing well. Let me pray for you. I've seen a dream concerning you. From God, I have one word for you. You know, when some people tell you these kind of things, you must say, get away from me. What can you give me through all these things? So Pastor John MacArthur said, if someone comes to tell you, I have a word from God for you, run from this person. Do not listen to the person. That is similar to the person who tell you, you know, what will happen to you of different zodiac signs. Now, we believers, we know we shouldn't be listening to fortune tellers, although they say interesting things about your love life, about what you will encounter this year. Now, when we Christians, we listen to this, we will be curious. But if a person says, in the name of Jesus, I tell you certain dreams about you, then you would surely be deceived very fast. So human hearts are evil. So when he sees certain dreams or visions, it comes from his selfish desires. And when you listen to what he tells you, your heart will be shaken. Such people, when they come to you, you must not accept whatever visions or dreams that they tell you, or whatever prophecies they tell you. Whatever they say to you comes from his unholy heart and from his evil desires. But his desires cannot appear as very evil. It will come as very good intentions, because the devil is deceiving. So it's like the person will come in a way that he's like wanting to pray for you. He loves you, but sometimes when you let him lay hands on you, you will not be well actually. But if he brings evil intention or evil desires to pray for you, and he didn't get the conviction from God to pray for you, then you will get very strange experiences and outcome consequences after that. Nowadays, Christians cannot discern between the real and the fake ones. So the Lord is the true vine and we are the branches. If we remain in Him, He will always remain in us also. So let's clearly understand this word today. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 15. Let's read verse 1 together. I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Why does the Lord say, I am the true vine? In the Old Testament, whenever vine is mentioned, it refers to Israel. So, Psalm chapter 80 said that, you know, you brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it. So it talks about the nation of Israel. So in the Old Testament, God's people's association of this vine is that the vine refers to Israel. And indeed, in the Old Testament, God uses the vine to describe Israel. But the fact that Israel is the glorious Israel is because of what? Because Christ, the Messiah, came from Israel. So He is the true vine. So He comes. And so what you should depend on is not the nation of Israel. You should not seek the glory of Israel, but you should seek the true vine. You should rely on this true vine and be connected to this true vine. So Jesus is the true vine. And so Jesus said that He is the true vine. And the Father is the gardener. So, the Father is also involved in the redemption plan of His people. So, chapter 15 talk about Father, Son, and our relationship. The Lord says, I love you just as the Father loves me. If you bear more fruit, my Father will be glorified, and you are my disciples. So do you realize? Father, Son, and us. And us saints, we have this relationship, and this is also being mentioned in John chapter 15. So you should have read John chapter 15 before the sermon. So we will email you the sermon pointers one night before the service. So now, the Father is the gardener, and how will He tend this whole vine, especially the branches which refer to us saints and the church believers? Now there are two kinds of branches. One is the one which bear fruit, the other one don't bear fruit. Verse 2, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So there's one mystery here. The branch is connected to the vine, and that means that the branch is completely dependent and connected to the vine. This is not like the shepherd and the sheep, because the sheep can get led astray or went missing. But you think about it, if the moment the branch is broken from the vine, how can the branch survive? You do not even need to mention bearing fruits. The branch will immediately dry up the moment it's detached from the vine. So the branch cannot even leave the vine for even 1 second. The moment the branch departs from the vine, it will dry up. And a very clear evidence of the branch connecting to the vine is it will bear fruit. So when we want to talk about the fruit, this is a very important concept. Why do I say that? We all know that our Christian faith is from faith to faith. And now we are no longer living, but Christ is living in us. But we live by faith in Him. But can you see faith? No, you believe, I believe, but the faith is not written, so we cannot see. So human faith cannot be seen by the naked eyes, but the clear evidences of faith is that the believer will bear fruit. So if you repent, there will be the fruit of repentance. If the Holy Spirit is in you, then you will have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Your living will reveal the differences between after you believe Christ and before you believe Christ. So now, if the way you live, the way you treat people and matter is still the same, you know, what people of the world are happy about, you are also happy. What they are sorrowful about, you are also sorrowful. Then where is the difference? There is no clear evidences of the fruit. So the new life should bring about the evidence of the new living. But without that, then your faith is very, very empty. So you may be deceiving yourself. So some people say, this fruit, no, Pastor, you know, when we talk about fruit, it sounds very legalistic. So we don't have to hear this. We want to hear that we believe in God and God's power will come upon us. That is also a very wrong or biased teaching of the modern church. So Pharisees came before John the Baptist and said, and John the Baptist told them, you must bear fruit that is in line with the heart of repentance, then you will escape the future judgment. So some people say, Pastor, I do have fruit, but I only have a little fruit. after becoming Christian, my temper is a little bit better, but later on, I relapse also. Or after believing Christ, I only hope that my family members can also come to the Lord. Then I also thank God for you, because fruit also have big or small, but at least there's certain fruit. At least there are some fruit. It's not exactly totally no fruit at all. Now, if you have smaller fruit, it's all right also. Because the Lord will help us bear more fruit. But at least there will be evidences of fruit. Otherwise, it's a fake faith. But you ask, Pastor, who should I show this fruit to? You know, some people say the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, gentleness, peace, joy. Or you know, some people say, I have certain fruit of repentance. I have certain, there are certain changes in my life and living. I started to love coming to church to bless saints. But I'm doing all these things for who to see? Is it for humans to see? Of course, if people beside you see that you have such wonderful fruit, they will be thankful for you. But first of all, the fruit is first to show yourself, so that you yourself can see the change in your life and you know that your faith is not fake. And you know that when you do a good work, even the smallest one, you did it out of your love for God. My wife told me a very small testimony. She believed in the Lord at the age of 15 years old and she didn't have a very good relationship with her mother. But after becoming a Christian, at least, when the mother asked her to do something very simple, like go downstairs to buy something, every time when I ask my children to buy things, it's very hard to get them to buy things. It's very hard. But my wife will volunteer to go and buy. Because she has already believed in the Lord. And so she wanted to live out the life in Christ so that her own mother can see it. Of course, humans, we have different weaknesses. We have a little small fruit, but we have other rotten parts also. But at least there's some clear evidence that after believing in the Lord, the way I do things and treat people, the kind of attitude and heart and motives are different. At least there should be some difference. And after you believe the Lord for 20, 30 years, you should bear even more fruit. But one danger of the modern churches is, right now, the word of the church rarely challenge believers to ask the believers to confirm whether their faith has fruit. Now, a lot of the faith teachings are asking believers to look at miracle, pursue wonders and signs. They say the Holy Spirit come upon us, and then we open the door, and then God's blessings will pour upon us. But their life has no fruit of God's holiness. They still have a lot of lust and greed and evil desires. And there's no struggle in their life. And they don't have this battle between the spirit and the flesh. So, my dear brothers and sisters, you do not just listen to people saying, Hallelujah, praise Jesus, thank Jesus. All these are outward words. Without a real fruit within us, today our Lord says, every branch in me that bears no fruit, God will cut off. So, in the church, all saints, we are all connected with the vine. But some branches, they are just connected outwardly to the vine, but inside them, they are rotten. So, as a result of that, the life of the vine cannot come to the branch. They are just connected outwardly to the vine. So you cannot tell this branch apart from other branches. But one thing that is evident is this kind of branch does not have fruit. 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And what he asks for, what he pursues, have never changed. It's the same as his temperament before he's a believer. So such people is what today's verse says as This branch looks similar outwardly with the rest of the branches, but he has no fruit. And what will the Father do? The Father will cut this branch off and let this dry up outside. And then, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So now you have borne fruit. So you will, the gardener will prune it so that when all the fruits are produced, the gardener will prune again and again. You know, what is pruning? No, now you sometimes think, you know, I've already bore fruit, and why am I still being pruned? But God's word tells us the reason is so that you will be even more fruitful. So I've mentioned to you that this vine is a very amazing plant. You plant it for the first 1 or 2 years, there will not be fruit, because the nutrients from the vine must accumulate. And starting from the 3rd year, the branch will start to have little fruit. And some branches, they are very good with a lot of fruit. But after taking the fruits, the gardener will surely prune the vine. So in one year, there's a lot of grapes. So they will cut it very short, up to 10 cm. So sometimes we wonder, why does God created the vine to be this way? But after pruning, next year, as it continues to produce, there will be more and more grapes. But certain branches, when you don't prune, then this year they have many fruits. Next year they have no fruit, or what they bear is just a lot of leaves, but there's no fruit. And all its nutrients were being used to bear leaves. But why? Actually, very amazing. When the branch of the vine is too long, the fruit-bearing nutrients cannot reach it. So after bearing fruit, you must really prune the vine to make it short, make the branch short. Then the nutrients come, and then the fruits can produce. And so that's how amazing God created the vine. So this is like us Christian. You know, sometimes you see certain people, they have good life, they always go to church, always serve, always love and shepherd people. But why is it that the Lord gave them trials? Why did the Lord allow illnesses to come to them? Why is it that in their family, there are certain trials concerning their children? Why? There's a lot of reasons. Of course, if you use a more negative reason, it's because sometimes when a person is very successful and beautiful in his ministry, he may grow proud and he thinks he's able, and he starts to rely on himself. And when he serves very well, then he starts to judge others, why are they others not doing? So God will give the person some trials to prune him, to make him humble down, so that he will not be proud and realize that everything is from the grace of God, and God allows him to participate in his holy work. And for some people, they are not. It's not because they are proud, but because they are stagnant. Now, as you serve God, it's very easy for you to be stagnant at one stage because you have been too used to serving. For example, us who are preacher, every week we will preach. So in the beginning, you know, we have to preach 3 times a week. But if you do this for a long time, for 1 year, you become so used to it. Then you realize you lack the new grace in preaching and shepherding. And you didn't continue to seek such grace. And so there's no progress in your serving, because you have to know that every serving comes with challenge. If you say you have preached well today, you can even preach better. If you have led Sunday school well today, you can lead even better. Now you think you can manage this group of children, there's also more difficult and challenging children to come. You have been a very good usher, but sometimes when new people come and they're not used to this church, then you have to adapt to the new people or show concern to them. So there's a lot of concerns, a lot of challenges. When the sound system is already done well, it can be improved even better. So our serving in the Lord is we need to keep asking for new grace. So if the Lord didn't give us certain challenges and trials or use His word to teach us, then a lot of times our natural reaction is to be stagnant at the current state. So God does beautiful work. He really wants to give us refinement and trials. And which of us have undergone trials? And I know that our brother Eddie, he will have to undergo a major heart operation this Wednesday. Because three of his arteries, one is already 100% blocked. The other two is already 70 to 90% blocked. Now that he's still alive and still drives, that is a miracle. So please pray for him. And I talked to Faith the other day. Since you came to our church 6 years ago, first two or three years is honeymoon years. But after that, after 4 or 5 years in our church, God slowly uses you as you start to shepherd many people in a family fellowship. Esther, hand over to her. And amazingly, after that, her own health has issue. And then at the same time, her cell group member also had certain health issues, and she also shepherded them. And she always come to pastor to say, "Can you please pray for my cell group member? This and this person, that person has health issue." But amazingly, in the midst of this, she didn't lose her faith. And in her heart, she's full of God's grace. And she said that in the past, she surely cannot do it. And recently, Eddie also faced problem. But the grace of their family is the grace of God on their family is always sufficient. And they purchased some insurance. I'm not trying to tell you to buy insurance. But amazingly, when God's trial comes to them, they are well provided for also. So when I share about them, please pray for them. Especially when you're serving the Lord, and suddenly when a trial comes, there's many things for us to think through. Sometimes we ourselves need renewal, and we ourselves should ask for new grace. And we should not look at our own problems because God will sustain us. Like I've told Faith, sometimes from outward, you don't look like you are sick. But when you go for certain scans, you realize there's problem here and there. So if you want to seek medical consultation, you just listen to the doctor, you pray, and then you go for the operation or the medication that you should take. But in your heart, you rely on the Lord. And in the midst of this, she has one cousin living beside us, nearby us. And his church is a church of seeing dreams and speaking prophecies. And every day, this cousin wants to prophesy to her. You believe in God until this date. And then, so I want to give you a word from the prophecy. But Sister Faith, she has been in our church for 6 years. She has heard what she should have listened, and she has seen what she should have seen. So amazingly, God's word has already cleansed her heart. So the moment she hears such words, she told me, "Pastor, when I hear such words, words like, you see, we are so well, every day we see visions, our business is good, our family is good, everything is well with us." But Sister Faith said, "When I said all these things, I grew very angry." Why? Because I know faith is not like this. Is it just by a prophecy that quarreling couples can suddenly become well? Or, children will get well? Maybe when the whole family pursue, MLM kind of direct sales or whatever, with this same motive of wanting to be successful, when the whole family wants this same goal, they may be united for a while, but after that, the same problem will emerge. Unless God's word cleanse you, change you, transform you, tear you down, and rebuild you, and you go through a process of humbling, you think that after a night's sleep and over a few prophecies, will people just get well like that? If you go to some healing and deliverance service, you come back, you are transformed, you should be afraid because you may be under certain curse or spell. So a person must go through struggles and then he go through certain reflection. You know, every time when I teach children, it's from my selfish desire. And then after going through this process, then humans can slowly become better. So if someone comes to tell you that, you know, I got better after attending some healing and deliverance service, do not believe in that. Because if you have a normal brain, even a scientific brain, if you hear this, you will understand where God so easy. How can it be so easy? So God's word must enter humans' inner heart. So the next verse says something very important. So let's read together. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Your life is already clean. It's because, so this word means before that you are dirty. So you have been cleansed from sin, meaning you have been saved. Because those with the life of Christ, through the word of God, because the word of God has the cleansing power. So when a person hears the word of God, he is convicted of his sin, he repents, and after that, because of the word of God, he understood that in the past, the way he lives is loving the world, and now he knows this holy God, and he want to pursue a holy living, and he want to pursue loving God and relying on him. And so all this comes from the word of God. Without the word of God, there's no cleansing. If you suddenly go to the church and suddenly a power comes to you and you fell down, you feel as if you are very powerful, but you're not cleansed yet. For you to be cleansed, your mind must understand, your heart must be moved. You need to understand and know your will and know your sin. And then you should be cut to your heart and repent. And after that, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you many of your weaknesses and sins and your selfishness, and then you repent with a contrite spirit, you turn back to God, then you will see this person have a very obvious change. So you are really cleansed because of the word, but we know that among the disciples only one is not clean, but the rest of the 11 disciples, they are already clean. And verse 4. So I also want to mention here, for those of us who hear the word of God, whose life has been cleansed, when we hear the word of God, we will not listen to the word of God selectively. Because of what I've told you, because of the word I've spoken to you, you are already clean. And what is the word of God? The word of God is the whole Bible. It's not just this page or this chapter of the Bible. It's not just the book of John. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, all these are the word of God. So whoever only like selected passage or verse and always use that verse to proclaim and receive what he himself wants, and when you read the rest of the other verses, you're not interested, you didn't think about other verses, you didn't correct yourself because of other verses, then such a person, he's only pursuing his own God. He opens the Bible to seek his own God, his own Jesus. And so, a person who's truly cleansed before the Lord, he will open the Bible and he understand that every word of God is the word of God. Every word in the Bible is the word of God. And he will accept it in amen. And verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So I've already explained this just now. Remain in the Lord. God, Jesus, is the source of life, and I need to respond to Him. And there is this mutual relationship. The more I love Him, the more I can see His love. The more I rely on Him, the more I can see His power. But here, I want to give you another very important idea, and that is, you must remain in Me. This is a command. Remain in Me. But we also know that we humans are weak. Now, as we listen to the sermon, we have a lot of illumination from the Holy Spirit and we reflect upon ourselves. But sometimes when we go back to our homes, we realize that certain aspects of our life lack fruit. For example, when you serve in the church, there's a lot of fruit. It's very efficient. You see the help of the Holy Spirit. You're full of wisdom to deal with people and things. But when you're back home, when you're with your family members, you're lazy. Your whole person just relax. And you easily get into disputes with people. You lack patience and then there's quarrel. And then immediately you will think, because while serving, I'm always in the love of God. But in family relationship, I lack that. Some sisters, when they work, they rely on the Lord and they perform very well, and the boss and the subordinates all like her. But when she goes back home with her husband, why you didn't do this or that? And then rebuke the husband, and the husband really dislikes that. So she brings the same attitude back home, and she realizes this bears fruit in company, but she cannot bear fruit at home. So the Lord says, you must always remain in Me. That means in all things, according to the living fields and roles that God has given you, you must learn how this Lord is guiding you. So every situation is different, because no one is perfect. Of course, it will be beautiful if we are perfect. But the moment we realize we lack fruit in certain areas, for example, in human relationship, we lack fruit, or in terms of finances, we are always in lack, or we always are tempted by greed, or in terms of finances, we are not contented. So that is the areas in which we do not always remain in the Lord. In other words, we do not live by the principles of God's truth in those areas. So this is to urge you to remain in the Lord always. Another thing is, sometimes we need to understand that if you can perform some or do something well, it doesn't mean that you can continue to do it well. If you serve well, if you need to be always in the Lord, then you can continue to do it better, because serving is a challenge and the challenges will increase. And also, some people, even if they are not in the Lord, they can also do very well because they seem to have a set of experiences and methods. So such a person, even though he can complete the task, but he won't accredit glory to the Lord. When people see him, they won't admire or long for the Lord within him, but they will just praise the brother for himself, for his own wits, his own eloquence, and so he cannot credit the glory to the vine. So the relationship that the Lord talks about, you must remain in the Lord to do everything, and the result of your doing will lead to everyone giving God the glory. So verse by verse, they are all very important. So next, the Lord says again, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in Me and I in him, so the Lord repeats again, and he will bear much fruit. And read the next phrase together. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. So the ultimate reason for us to connect with the Lord, the reason for the branch to be connected to the vine, is to bear fruit. Which person plant the vine to look at its leaves, but he's just waiting for the fruit. So when the fruit of the vine is being harvested, within that grape there are seeds. And those seeds can be used to plant more fruit, plant more fruit trees, and to receive more fruits. So it's multiplying. So if a person remains in Christ, first, he will bear fruit inside him. So this is the inner fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love, the peace, the gentleness, the self-control, and all these things we can see from a Christian. Because we can tell that a Christian has a master within him, and that master will be reflected in his temperament, and he can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And second, he will bear the fruit in witnessing for the Lord. He will evangelize, and people will come to the Lord because of him. And so during Chinese New Year, we give out red packet. So I bless you that year after year you bear more fruit. Some people, after becoming a Christian for 20, 30 years, they have never bore fruit. They will either be cut off or pruned, so that they will be removed from the worldly desires and pursuits, so that all these worldly pursuits will be burnt, and then he will start to slowly bear fruit. Now, fruit and success, sometimes we cannot distinguish. Because we talk about the fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, etc. And then we talk about outward fruit, evangelism, witnessing, saving souls. And so within this, and we say, this is what fruit is. And so some people, they can't seem to bear fruit. And so they talk about earthly success. So if I've made money from my business, I can also use that to evangelize. So many people will think in this way. If I'm successful in my career, I can also use that to evangelize. My children, if they are very well behaved and study well, I can also use that to evangelize. So it sounds right also. But let me tell you, we need to be very careful, a bit more careful. Because such saying is about the same as marketing and sales. Because success may not be fruit. Actually, how you use the success, how you use that success to gain the effect that God wants to gain, then that is what is meant by fruit. So if you're very wealthy from your business, but the Bible tells us you must use the unrighteous wealth to make friends on earth. So using the unrighteous money, how do you use it? How do you use it to progress the kingdom of God, to save human souls, so that people can see that what you care about is not this temporal materials, but you use these materials to exchange for something that is more beautiful, life, human life. Then that is true fruit. So if a person tells me he has many fruit in his life, he has a successful business, and he earned a lot of money, I will tell him, man's life is not about the abundance of possessions. But when God has given us some material wealth, how do you use it? That kind of life testimony, that is the kind of fruit that God wants to see. And no matter how much you receive, your heart is joyful and peaceful in Him and contented in Him, and you praise Him, that is a form of fruit. So by His grace, according to His pleasure, God apportioned His grace to everyone. But how does the person use that grace to glorify the Lord? Then that is considered as fruit. If some people earn great money, in the society, because Chinese New Year keep talking about wealth. If you say you do not evangelize, you also do not center your living on the church, but you are always busy over your business, and you tell me you bought some oil plantation, I do not envy you, but I actually pity you. With such abundance, if you have such abundance, God will demand it. In future, when you see the Lord, God will say, I've given you so much possession. What have you used it for? You know, you use it to buy more oil plantation? No, certainly not. If the Lord allows you to have better life in all aspects, you will not think about acquiring more. Because if that's the case, then your whole life will be bound by possessions. But now your life is comfortable. That is just for my convenience. This money is for my convenience to buy my time. So you should pay more attention to God's holy ministry. So some people use their contacts, network, to be in touch with many people, to testify for God, to evangelize. And then, because there is no worries, you can serve with greater ease in terms of visitation and so on. What I'm telling you is not beyond the Bible. You look at the system of the world right now, it continues to make men unable to stop. You know, it prompts men to want more after having some. So you, after buying one house, you buy a few more houses to earn money. And so the world keeps telling men, humans, to focus on this. And so when you ask people to evangelize, you ask the person to witness the Christian virtue, Christian life, the holiness, holy living. They don't have such things to witness. They only can testify that God has blessed my finances. And so when many people hear that, they really like it. They don't like his God, but he liked the money. They like the money this person is sharing. So to me, this is very problematic. If this becomes a very orthodox and mainstream testimony and witness, every time it's just witnessing about health and wealth, then slowly it will become a culture. Only those who recovered from their sickness or who receive material abundance, then that means God is with them. And then the gospel is cheapened by all these things. So those who like this God and see his glory and follow him, those who can do this, then is truly giving God the glory. So this is my conservative view of the gospel. So now I want to say something very serious. Verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Now, what is this verse referring to? Who is this verse referring to? Now, there's three ways of explanation. First, it's referring to a person who was ever a believer, but later on he became apostate and he loves the world. And so, because he departed from the truth, in the end, God abandoned him, and so he was destroyed and he ended up in hell. So fire is referring to the fire in hell. So he used to be a believer, but he loves the world and he departs from the truth, and then so he loses his salvation. Second, refers to a believer, but throughout his life he loved the world. So throughout his life, whatever he has done is not with any eternal value. But then his soul got barely saved. So in the Bible, there's someone like Lot. He's a righteous person, but look at his whole life. his descendants were all not believers, and his wife became a pillar of salt. So although he himself was saved, but his whole life's achievement was burned up. And third, a person looks like a believer, but because he has never remained in the Lord, in other words, he had never truly believed, such a person eventually is being found out to be a fake believer. He only goes to church on Sundays, but he's just like Judas. There's a third kind of explanation. Now, which do you think the verse is referring to? Now, you do not need to read commentaries. I read for you. So, it's just these three ways of explanation. So, what do you think this verse is referring to? Which of you think is the first explanation? Which of you think is the second one? And which of you think is the third? And then the rest of you is the fourth? Now, in my point of view, in the context of today's passage, of course, there's a second kind of believer, but I feel it should be the third explanation. A lot of people, by their natural heritage, they are Israelites, but eventually they are deserted because they are not true believers of Christ. Same thing for today's church. Some people, they are not real believers, but they look like church believers, and eventually they will be burned up also. So if this refers to the second kind, and if you belong to the second kind, you know, you are a believer, but you love the world, but your life belongs to the Lord. If you belong to the Lord will never desert you, but God will keep pruning you. The Lord will keep pruning you to refine you with a lot of trials and tribulations. Then you realize that in your life, in your relationship, there's a lot of problems until you put down your selfish desires and you follow the Lord. So my interpretation here is the third one. Those people, they have never truly believed ever. Now, if you ask, Pastor, am I someone like this? If you will ask this question, then I thank God. If you were even asked this question, then likely you are not the third kind. Because the third kind of person will not ask, because Judas will not care whether he's truly saved. If you will be nervous because of this, you know, can I eventually see the Lord? Then that proves that you are not dead, you are alive. It's just that now you're a bit blur. Now you need to come back to your senses. And so verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, read together, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Now, which phrase do you like, the former or the latter? Everyone likes the second part of the sentence. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Now, what does this second phrase refer to? This is the word movement. You know, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. But if you omit the first part of the verse, then this whole verse is not complete. Now, if God fulfills everything Christians or everything that people ask from Him, then this whole world will be done, will be finished. If every Christian or whatever they wish God give it to them, then it's all chaotic also. So it's definitely not the case. Our hearts, we have desires. When we pray for our desires. What the desires that flows out from our heart, we really desires for that. And what you desires, you think is just from yourself. What you desires is surely connected with what you have placed in your heart and mind is related to that. So for your whole life, if what you understand or know is the worldly mindset, then whatever you wish for is things of the world. Now, if for your whole life, you continue to know and learn God's word, and God's word is in your heart, then this word will produce in you the desires which is matching with, which is related to God's desire and God's heart. Of course, we are weak people. After hearing the word of God, sometimes in our whole life, we may also have thought wrongly or done wrongly. But after we are wrong, after we fail, once again, because we have the word of God in us, the word of God will once again correct us and reveal to us. Recently, me and my wife, we drove to Woodlands to collect something. Woodlands is very far because we live in the east. So every time when we drive past Woodlands, we will drive past the sports school. There's only one sports school in Singapore. And you know, in the past, when my youngest son was in primary 6, there's a moment we thought of placing him in the sports school. And she went through all the selection. And eventually, he got into the round of 30s. From 300 to 40, he end up in the last stage of 30 people. But eventually, he didn't make it. So I told my wife, why have I ever thought of sending my son to the sports school and allow him to stay in the school for 4 years to just play soccer? Then I told my wife, is it my selfish desire? Is it my vanity or what? So I shared this with my wife. Such an adorable child. Usually, and especially in his growing up years, I sent him to this school to let him stay in the school. So I asked my wife, is it my vanity? Then she said, I didn't know, is it because of your vanity? But I just know, you know, if I send him to the school, I have one less child to take care of. So it's really very tiring to take care of two others. So the third one is extra tiredness. So as we talk about it, this child, thankfully in these 3 years, he's with us. Every day he come back home from school, no matter how naughty he was in the school, at least he saw us at home. When he came home, he's being pruned. So no matter what, when he see his parents, it's still better. So sometimes when we reflect, is it because of our selfish desire? You know, suddenly for a moment, sometimes, of course, we have the word of God in our hearts and we keep praying, God, if it's really not your will, if this child leaves us and from Monday to Friday lives in that school, if it's not good, then eventually God show us in these 3 years that if we have sent him to the sports school, he will turn into a different person. But now, in his 13 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old, he's always with us and we pray with him. Now sometimes when you always hear me share about my youngest son, I tell you also he has very agile hands. You ask him to study, he wants to faint. But you ask him to do things. Now, if you ask him to study, he will take out his football and stand back. So he needs to move his hands and legs. But he's very close to heart. So sometimes when my wife is tired, he will use his hand to massage my wife. My two elder children refuse to do that for my wife. So, and my youngest son actually helped my wife to dye her hair. My wife asked me to help her dye her hair. I'm very messy. It's very hard for me to do these kind of things. But my youngest son can dye my wife's hair for her. So, a child give you some challenge. You have to ask, why did God give this child to you? The impression the child left on us and what we learn from this child, there's a lot of such lessons. So today, I also share with the parents. Because many of us, we are facing issues with the children. Now, every time you hear me share testimonies, you need to reflect. Each of us, we have our desires. for our career, our children, our family, we all have desires. But when I read this verse, I told the Lord, Lord, this verse, when I read it again, one thing that illuminates me is, indeed, everyone has desires. And every Christian, no matter how spiritual he is, sometimes in an instant, his desires may not be matching with God. But this verse says, if you remain in me and my word remain in you, and this verse means, if the word of God is in your heart, if the word of God is truly in your heart, then what is your ultimate desire? Your desire toward your children one day will disappear, because when the child grows up, he has his own life. You have certain desire concerning your life. You want to have fun or traveling to Europe or whatever. These are just temporal. But when the person truly has the word of God, what is his ultimate desire? So I ask myself, of course, in my whole life, I have a lot of desires, I have a lot of longings, but what I long greatest for is that the glory of God's church. And I long most for the holiness of the church of God. And so God says, I will fulfill this. So the Lord gave me conviction that God will fulfill the glory and holiness of God's church. When this COVID-19 struck, I never thought of it, that God used this virus to refine his church, to distinguish or to separate the true one and the false one, to separate the living and the dead. Those fake ones will not want to go to church. Those true believers, they truly need it. They are so dry. They really need the word of God. They need the fellowship of saints, and so they will go to church. So in this 1 or 2 years, every day before the Lord, what I'm very thankful is, whether it's my children's things or life matters or finance matters, all these are trivial matters. But Lord, today, this life, if I see you, if you ask me what is my ultimate desire, the dream I have every day, my longing every day is what? It is the Lord's church becoming a pure virgin being presented to the Lord. Lord, you know, every time when I stand on stage, I will talk about this, I rebuke about this, and I encourage about this. But I'm just a mortal man. How can I fulfill such great things? Throughout history, God have done this through your great servants. But the Lord says, it's not done by my servants, it's done by me. But what is your desire? If you remain in me and my word remain in you, what I long for most in my heart will also be your desire. And because of what you wish for, you ask and you'll be given to you. Not you ask once, but for your whole life. The message from your mouth, the dreams you had at night, at your strivings every day, what you want to see. Every time you attend church, what is it for? You know, Lord, I'm absolutely not for church numbers or get the approval of men, you like me or don't like me. I just finish this mission of God and I go and see God, and God will tell me that, you see how I fulfill this for you. And so this year, I see that God has answered our prayers and God will do even more beautiful things. And finally, let's read verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So you bear fruit. Now, a branch, no matter how much fruit it has, no one will say, this branch is so beautiful. Everybody will say, this vine is so beautiful. This vine is so abundant. This gardener is so wise. So the glory is given to the vine and the gardener. So we bear fruit. The glory will be given to Father and Son. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for using your word to teach and encourage us and to awaken us. so that those of us in slumber, we can be awakened. Lord, we thank you that we are the branches, you are the vine, and we should be connected to you. And this is a lesson that you have been teaching us for the whole life. May your glory continue to be manifested in your church, so that your church can be refined and the believers in the church can have a pure love for you. Lord, we thank you and we pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.